Introducing Bluehost Cloud, ultra-fast WordPress hosting with 100% uptime. Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Of course you do. And now you can have all three with Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost. With 100% uptime and incredibly speedy load times, your WordPress websites will be dependable and lightning fast on a global scale. Plus, your sites can handle even the biggest traffic spikes without going down or lagging. And with Bluehost Cloud, you get 24/7 WordPress priority support, meaning you're connected to WordPress experts anytime you need them. Not to mention, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. So, what are you waiting for? Get Bluehost Cloud today by visiting Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com.
Salutations, everybody. It is Maddie here today with episode 175 of the Ham Radio Podcast.
And it's me, Carrick, with ACG.
Carrick, welcome back. You missed last week, but here we are together again.
I did. I missed last week, and this week I almost missed just because I'm a dumbass. So, we no pictures this time, but hey, I'm here. That's what.
Yeah, good to have you, man. All right, we got a great week in news. Things are really picking up. The holiday season's really upon us at this point when it comes to all the games dropping. But before that, we got a couple of things to go over. Number one, you can flick a buck. Thank you. And you have Carrick's Patreon, which he's doing a ton of stuff over there. Much like myself, we do giveaways, patron gaming sessions, Discord interaction. I do early podcast access. You can get it on SoundCloud, which is a lot more consistent than what we do for the free listeners with iTunes and Google Play. Like last week's episode still isn't up yet. I do apologize for that, but that's kind of what happens. I don't try to do it where you guys feel like you're paying for a premium, but it's just a much more reliable and consistent service. And so, yeah, that's what's kind of going on with that. But anyway, we appreciate those of you who do come in and support the Patreon. It lets us continue to talk about whatever the hell we want without really having to worry about some of those financial repercussions. You know, a lot of YouTubers like to chase titles, big news and stuff. And because of your support on Patreon, you let us just talk about what we love. And that's so important. So really, I just want to send a big thanks to you guys. And also for last week's support on the episode where it was myself, CamelWorks, and Fudge Muppet. It was one of our more higher listener episodes. We hit just about 30K, I believe, which was excellent. Ooh. Yeah, so pretty awesome stuff there. We talked about everything Fallout 76. Pretty much it's a off-the-walls discussion between us three. We had all gone to the events. We're sharing experiences. We all pretty much discover new things about the game as we go along. So if you missed that episode and you're really looking forward to Fallout 76, I highly recommend you give it a listen. Carrick, I apologize. I feel bad when I do this, when I let you know news at the same time as the listeners, because we were scheduling the Yuri Lowenthal interview, right? And so we had a date picked out. And about an hour beforehand, I get an email that it was canceled, which is fine, yes, but that's sad, meaning that pretty much we're looking to reschedule. Carrick and I will sit down with Yuri at one point in time, but we don't have a new date. It was originally supposed to be October 16th, yeah. And like I said, it was canceled. Something came up, totally fine. So we're looking to reschedule, but we'll have something for you guys eventually, just we're not sure when, so we do apologize for having that fall through the cracks. And last but not least, we always like to talk about in the introduction upcoming content. For me, the Fallout 76 beta is starting this week, so we got ourselves a lot of that. That's going to be fun. I'm really looking forward to playing more in like my own room. And so then we also have Soul Calibur 6 and My Hero Academy reviews. I've kind of decided mentally, this isn't set in stone, but I've decided mentally that I'm probably going to hop in on the Red Dead train more along the lines of the launch of Red Dead Online and less with the launch of the game, just because, as most of you know, we're a primary Bethesda channel, so I want to focus on the beta and the launch of Fallout 76, because I know that's kind of my bread and butter, along with all the other games I like to review and make little supplemental content here and there. So for me, that's kind of what I'm going to be working on. But how about you, Carrick? You got anything in the works, any reviews, any separate content videos? What are you working on?
Did you mention, I think you did, but I'm confused on the names. My Hero 1?
Yeah, One's Justice.
So I've got that. Not quite sure, especially because I fucked up my back. So it's like I can't sit and like play games for very long. So I'm trying to do that. I'll do Red Dead. I will be getting back into Twitch for sure, more than just those, whatever, the podcasts. But I think right now those are the two. Well, Call of Cthulhu. I did get that code. And I'm a personal huge fan of the original and the Xbox, Dark Shadows of the Earth. So to me, it sounds weird, but like if you rated excitement, like Red Dead, I'm excited in a different way. But gotcha. Call of Cthulhu, if it turns out good, then you have Sinking City later. So those are the main things I'm doing. We're trying to do a couple interviews, but I don't really push that, especially right now. I'm so fucking hurt that like I just don't even want to. Like I skipped out on Soul Calibur. I gave a review in my Discord. Mm-hmm. I skipped out on Starlink. I gave a review on my Discord. I just told people what I thought, and I didn't even make videos because was too painful to record.
Totally understandable. It sucks. Soul Calibur for me, it was one of those things I was planning on reviewing because they were like, we'll get it to you early. I was like, sweet. And they did get it to me early, but it was like, I want to clarify for the viewers. I don't say it's an entitled way, but Carrick will understand because he's like me. He makes reviews. Like, they gave it to me the day before the embargo lifted, which was 2 days before launch, which for me is like, you know, you want the content before the embargo list. But I still was appreciative of it. I'm still going to make a review for it because I want to hold up my end of the bargain. It's the first review copy I've ever gotten from Namco Bandai, so it was a really historical moment. As Carrick knows, it's been a huge uphill battle trying to get that established, so that's nice. But yeah, man,
and
I'm
strange how you and I can have different, like, problems with different, like, same publisher. Like, you'll be all, I get, have no issues.
Yeah,
and I'll be
Square
like,
for me. Yeah, Square for me. I'm yeah, like,
Square
I got
for
it.
You. Yeah, it's so weird, man.
Like, where
it's
the fuck's
so weird.
Tomb Raider?
Yeah, dude, Tomb Raider took me it took me a day, but no, wait a minute. That was the one where I had asked for the wrong copy. I asked for the copy of the version that wasn't done. But it was so funny because whenever we're talking, I'll always hear you say a company and be like, the fuck? Mm. You're having a problem with them? And then I'll tell you a company and be like, dude, they respond to me right away. I don't know, man. We don't overlap when it comes to PR and who likes us, I guess.
I guess so. Anyway, we got ourselves another Red Dead headliner. It's finally upon us. We're going to be talking about pretty much our excitement for the game at this point. Because for me, it really sunk in when I was watching the launch trailer. That's when it hit me. I was like, wow, in like a week we're actually going to be playing this game. And what's amazing is it hasn't been a super long road to the title, right? Like, it's really just been about a year or so of marketing and whatnot. I think it's felt longer because in that year, you know, we saw a couple of trailers, we've seen a lot of concept art, and they did ramp it up in this last month or so. But I'm personally on board. I'm excited. I was kind of holding myself back a little bit. But after seeing that launch trailer, it's hard to really put my finger on it, but it just clicked with me. I was like, all right, like I'm excited for this. And I think it's probably more so the realization of like, I'm going to be playing that in a week. You know, I will have my hands on that. Like what I'm seeing, I'll be diving into. And just that feeling, I think, is what really grabbed me. Less than I was already convinced that, you know, the game looked awesome. But what about you? Where do you stand on the title at this point?
I think you've come up and I've gone down. Okay. So, like, I'm excited. Probably as excited. He's probably still more excited than you just because I was such a fan of the first one.
Gotcha.
But I would like, say this. I don't know, man. It's weird. Like, the excitement's odd because I feel like that's a game where reviews will come, and then you'll have your online. Reviews will have to come for that. And then you'll have all these deep dives. And this is going to sound really jaded. But I'm sort of getting tired of deep dive videos. Like, because a lot of them, including my own, I've made mistakes myself. They're wrong a lot of times. And so, but they're put out like a YouTube video. Let's say I do Walking the Walk and I'm wrong about something. Mm-hmm. But that video, when I say it, comes across as I know for a fact. And maybe I do. It's a fact in my brain, but it's wrong because of something else. And it's like lately, everybody seems to be, it seems to all be those, dude. Like, there was even a Starlink fucking deep dive kind of video. And I was like, of all the games in the universe that doesn't require,
like, are you saying
a deep dive?
Just so I can understand analysis, your school of thought. You're saying, we're almost looking too deep. Like, some things mechanically are just as presented, but because yeah. of long-form content becoming more popular. The algorithm supports it. People are doing it more. People want to yeah. become more analytic of games, if that's, I don't even think that's the word, want to analyze games
that
more.
Is a word, but analyze a game, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's for sure that. And it's also the fact that, like, yeah. dude, they that, like you said, clickbait, or not, you didn't say clickbait, but I mean, there's the title type.
Yeah.
You have the title type of these, and then especially talking to developers and publishers, but mostly developers, indie and big, like just lately a couple random emails and having somebody be like, this video that just posted was an hour long and was wrong about 60% of what they said. Mm-hmm. But we're not allowed to even and they weren't even mad. They were like, no, it's wrong. And if somebody takes that as religion, then if we do a sequel, people will they'll mend that knowledge from the video into the game. And this person's worked on multiple sequels, and they were like, this is starting to happen a lot in the inner circle of devs, where you're starting to get this thing where the social awareness becomes history, where and it's not true. And like even Dark Souls, you'll get somebody say something about Dark Souls, like, there's this, so it must be this. And the developer will be like, what the fuck are you talking about? It's not like what it is at all.
Like speculation based off lore, for example, kind of.
Yeah, but exactly, yeah. And I do them, and I know you do them. But, so yeah, it's not that it's not that I even want them to stop. I'm just not really interested in what I know is going to happen, which is 2 full months of my YouTube like subscription being filled. Dude, people were making 5 videos on the trailer. 1 trailer. I saw somebody make 5 fucking videos.
And for a launch trailer, it was pretty short when you think about it.
Oh,
and
sorry.
We don't even say that negatively. Just like, it was
1 minute,
short.
Exactly. Yeah. 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 And I don't know why. It just like, I don't know. I'm sort of, especially as I continue to do the channel, I continue to like look at particular things and be like, you know, what I want to hit and stuff like that. And for some reason, that in particular, I'm just trying to really watch and make sure that everything I do is like,
I don't yeah, know, man. I mean, because
term it, but
a couple of things, you know, I think with what you started with about like long form videos and how like, you know, we're going to see the separate content for Red Dead versus Red Dead Online. There's going to be that whole multi-month period of coverage.
Dude, yeah.
I think that's what Rockstar wants, but also,
yeah.
I've noticed that, like, for example, Black Ops 4 just dropped. We'll talk about that later. But I noticed IGN did 3 separate reviews for each component of the game. Yep. So I just feel like that's a – I don't say it, like, justifiably. I know I trended towards longer-form content because I was going – I know it's where the algorithm favors. But a lot of people, for me personally, were like, I want to hear you say more because my videos were notoriously 3 to 5 minutes long. And people were like,
right.
That's so short. We know you have more to say. Why don't you just say it? And, like, couple – news bits together and make longer videos that are of higher quality. And I did that and it worked. But I agree that sometimes I've noticed with creators is you'll see they'll be making a long form video. Like they know it's going to be a meaty discussion. Usually before you even start, you know, all right, it's going to be a long one. Like for you, like if you're doing an indie review 5-hour game, you're like, all right, this is going to be a 12-minute video review versus this is Red Dead 2. This is probably going to be 20 minutes long, right? So I think with that context, you know what's going to be a meaty discussion. And I know a lot of YouTubers out there like just a business practice that I get. They want to hit the 10-minute mark because you can double up on ads. You make more money. It keeps your channel more relevant. There's so many pluses to it. But I've always been of the school of thought that if you just make quality content, you'll be okay. So I've had so many videos like undershoot by 10 seconds, the 10-minute mark, or 5 seconds. And it's like, I don't say this as like a put myself on the pedestal kind of thing, but I'm kind of like whatever about it. Because like I alluded to in the beginning, you know, the Patreon helps so much with that type of stuff where I don't feel like I got to fluff my content to make a couple extra bucks. But I'm of a different school of thought because I kind of like the longer form content. I like that people are trying to spread social awareness of the deeper parts of games. Like people are going into audio, people are going into lore.
I like them. They're just wrong a lot.
Hmm. Okay.
So, like, I agree. I like them, but they're wrong a lot. Like, that bothers me. I don't know why it bothers me, by the way. I'm not saying I have any clue why it bothers me.
Maybe it's because...
Even when I make mistakes.
Because you've said developers have told you that could be it. Because I personally, I'm close with developers, but I've never had one confide in
who
me.
Who worked on Sequel.
And
yeah.
be like, hey, this is fucking with us. So for me, I've never even considered that. Usually, we're many of us creators, I don't want to speak for you, are of the kind of the thought process of, we're supporting these developers in a way by like making content about their games.
For sure.
Trying to help in our own way keep them alive. Obviously, as long as the company's trying to keep them alive, to keep us alive. It's like a cycle of life. So it's interesting, almost a polarity to hear that a developer's kind of like, hey, this isn't helping us, you know? So
what's funny, you mentioned something that I had forgotten, but you're absolutely right. I don't know what to think of IGN's Blackout review.
I just saw that they
announced that they were going to do it, and we saw the three. But one thing I did notice, and it's very smart, is that some of them are review stuffing. So what they do is they'll review, and then they'll put three or four more videos out within the next day or so with the word review, even though it's not a review. So what happens is when I search for a review, I'm noticing Let's Players all over. And people say full Let's Play with review. And they'll only do one video and there's no review in it. It's just used to. And so there's stuff like that. And I don't know why that bothers me. Sometimes it does. But like the IGN thing, I get why they, you know, they did whatever they did. But even websites, I mean, like, I guess I went into N4G, which I use. Prior to us talking, because they're a good aggregate, and it was like 18 Red Dead stories, and my brain went, I'm fucking done. Like, it disconnected. It was like, I just scrolled past it. And to me, that's a bad sign.
Yeah, like, I think I like to separate myself and take a bigger, not that you haven't, but I take a bigger look at it, and I'm like, okay, we view games differently because we are of the good fortune. We're able to play so many of them that for a lot of people, like, this is their one game, their second game they're buying this year. Like, they're excited. So, yeah, I think of it. I always go back to it. I think of Skyrim when I was in high school. I literally failed a fucking class because I spent it on the computer looking up every article, rereading the same article, like 18 different ones for that game. I was just ridiculously pumped for it. So I always think back to that as kind of a way to like touch base with, like, there are people who just look so forward to only the next Rockstar game. Like, they bought GTA 5, they bought the re-release, they've played GTA Online for years, and like, this is their next step. Where, like, I think there is an audience for those 18 articles. It's the biggest game of the year, absolutely.
Next 2 years, probably, right?
Yeah, right. Maybe, with the Red Dead Online, it's very well possible. So,
yeah.
I feel like just everyone thinks it's the smart business decision to just go all in on it. Now, we're independent creators, so for me, I've made the decision. I'm going to enjoy this game on my own time. I will make content for it eventually because I'm sure I will find something in there I want to talk about. That's usually how it goes. But more than anything, I've made the decision because I am my own person and I can run my, I put this in quotes, business how I want to, that, oh, I'm going to create content about other things because there's probably an audience that doesn't care about Red Dead as much and wants to support
and is getting underserved because everybody else is.
Exactly. Yeah. So it creates kind of a hole for us to fill. So in a way,
for sure.
I get why there are websites that are like, here's 18 articles, but I also kind of appreciate that because I number one, I get it. I've been there. And number two, It provides opportunity for people like us who are like, let's just fill the gaps because that's what I was going to do anyway. You know, I'm excited for Red Dead. Absolutely. But at this point in time, because I'd voiced in the past, like, not that I wasn't sold, but more so that the excitement hadn't hit me, where now it kind of has. But I'm sticking to my plan because it's very infrequent. I'm able to have a big release that I'm able just to enjoy as a gamer, you know,
yeah,
like, it's usually like, all right, what's the content I'm going to make for this? What's the review I'm going to make for this? Do I have to crunch this? And it's nice to know that I'm going to be going into Red Dead maybe a couple of days late, and I'm going to play it at my own pace. And when I beat it, I beat it, and that's when my review will drop. You know, if it's in the middle of November or if it's in the beginning of December, I doubt it'll be that late because I'm sure I'll be playing it a ton. But point being is that, you know, that's a nice feeling for me. That's kind of where I stand on it. But
yeah, I can see that.
In general, with the game, because I guess in a way we kind of got off track. Not really, but you said your excitement's kind of gone down. Has it been
it's
because
just too much?
Yeah, I was going to say, has it been with anything with the game, or has it just been the coverage around it? Like, do you feel like once you get in that game world, you're going to be like, oh my gosh? Maybe not oh my gosh, but do you feel like that'll cause maybe a bit of a turnaround?
It will always cause a turnaround, only because, like, even prior to turning the game on, I'll put it in and I'll sit there for a couple minutes and be like, erase everything that you thought of prior. And just review the game, like
right,
just play.
Right.
That's why I've liked some Blank games. Slate. I know some people are like, and disliked others. So yeah, I'm
Primal.
Sure. Yeah, Primal. I'm sure there will be people who will find something wrong with in anything I've said. Mm-hmm. But overall, that's what I usually do. And so I'm there's going to be stuff in there that I bet you is awesome, but I also bet you, just like GTA, there'll be a number of things that aren't that great.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll be fun to discuss too. I think what happens to me is, and it just dawned on me, I think I know where this is coming from. Starlink, Soul Calibur, Odyssey, and probably Vampyr. I've seen a number of videos with just outright wrong data.
Interesting.
And I think that's also starting to bother me, where I'm like, and no one... It's. I don't want anybody being questioned, and I don't think anybody should be like, you fucked up. It's just that I sort of wish people would put a tiny bit more fucking thought into making something so that when they say something about a game, Vampyr was a pretty incredible one where there were multiple people talking about the battle system, and they were completely wrong. Look at Odyssey. Talk to a reviewer. 36 hours into the game, emails me and says, I can't get past this guy. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what level are you? Like level 37. What level are them? Level 35, level 36. I was like, well, you should be able to get past him. He's like, yeah, when I shoot him, I do a lot of damage. No lie, this is what he said. When I shoot them, I do a lot of damage. But when I get up close and hit them, I don't. And I'm like, what's your warrior number? And the exact email I get back is, what do you mean by warrior number? Hmm. Like the fucking giant numbers that are in the three skill trees that tell you where you've spec'd. And I don't know how. I don't know if they missed tutorials, but they did not know about those numbers.
Hmm.
And I was like, dude, you're reviewing a game. Like, you're that many hours in and you don't see the giant thing telling you the damage.
Yeah,
you know,
to preface for people that around that level part is you're easily like 30 hours, 28 hours minimum in the
game. 28, 30 hours in, yeah. And that kind of stuff, I think, just fed into this. And then I saw some stuff about Starlink, and I was like, what the fuck? I saw some stuff about Soul Calibur, Vampyr, really. Spider-Man didn't seem to happen so much. I think Far Cry, it
happened a little
bit. Spider-Man
was one that had a bit of a retraction when you think about it. You had the Puddle Gate, and
then
the game came out, and the game came out, and people were like, oh, okay, this looks great, you know?
Yeah. I think Red Dead will... I think Red Dead I'll probably like really like and only have.
Speaking of Spider-Man,
small things.
That's where I think a game with long, not that you're saying it didn't, but I just for the listener, I think that's a game where long form discussion videos helped it because Digital Foundry came out with that video like factually proving there haven't been technical. Changes with Spider-Man, that what you see in the E3 demo was the exact same thing. Just I think what they say, they changed some of the, I want to say shaders.
They changed the location because they chose the daytime. They chose the time that you were going to have those fights. That's why the time can't be changed till you beat the game.
Yeah.
And so they chose a particular time frame and they decided to remove puddles from that area. They're everywhere in the game.
Did you see what they added in the game now? There's a new photo mode update, and they added puddles as a sticker you can put in the photo mode now. So you can put puddles wherever you want. And I literally said, this has turned into such a success story for them.
Yeah. And those videos help. I just think they get one one millionth the views as Puddlegate videos did. And even our video, when we said, how does this make, we got a much larger view number because we were talking about Puddlegate.
For which one? Oh, yeah.
For that podcast.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. It's just like I said, it's just a small nitpick, and it's not, it's just that, especially a game like this, I don't know why, but it's like, I'm also, I want a lot of these smaller games just like you to do well. Call of Cthulhu, you know, Soul Calibur, all these games, these other games to get some word in edgewise. And it just seems like we're at this point where no one cares about any of that stuff. It's all got to be 85 videos on a fucking horse's ass and how it flexes. And you're just like, Jesus, tits. I don't know. Yeah. That's just me. I'm just bitching. I could change my idea tomorrow. That's just what I think.
I get where you're coming from, because you know, vampires easily, and we'll get into this actually later in the video or in the podcast, but the vampires easily in my top three so far this year. I love that game so much. I was a huge advocate for, like, just please, even if you're not going to beat it, just buy the game, because if this company puts more money into this game, like, it was amazing as it was. You and I agreed completely that, like, every penny that went into this game went into the right areas. Like, I thought the combat was good. You know, it was serviceable, but it was also enjoyable. And I think it got a bad rap, which is something you had touched on. I think that the conversation system is brilliant, and a lot of companies need to adopt that idea and evolve on it. Absolutely. Because what was there was interesting. It just wanted you to explore and converse with everything. Yeah. And it made it in a natural way that wasn't confusing to the player. And I just, you know, I completely agree that seeing games like that get support, like, because it's, and some people misinterpret this, but you know, Rockstar is absolutely going to get all the money in the world with this game. So yeah, right. I get where you're coming from, where you're like, yeah, I'd love to see Call of Cthulhu manage to do well in this storm of games and Red Dead articles coming out. But I mean, like, we can't be surprised, though, right? You know, we have the biggest game of the year dropping, and, like, yeah, people are going to go all in on that. I remember when, before my channel really hit a growth spurt in 2013, I keep talking about my own stories as if they're representative of everyone else, but I guess I just like to share my experiences. But GTA 5, I remember when it was going to drop in 2013, and, like, I went all in on that game. Like, every video for about a month or two that came out on my channel, which I know is crazy to think about, was all GTA 5. My channel grew a lot from that, because I was doing, like, GTA Online character creation videos teaching you how to make, like, the Joker or James Bond, and I was just having a good time with that, man. I was just putting a creative twist on it. So I feel like that's where I love how many people want to get in on Red Dead or Red Dead Online, because I think you see, you know, I'm not saying my own content is indicative of that, but you see cool creative twists that other people come up with, and that's what I like about it. But yeah, you also get just a lot of, like, it's overwhelming.
I think one of them, like I said, that fucking trailer, not this trailer, by the way, but mm-hmm. the one prior that was a little bit longer, there were channels doing, like I said, 5 or 6 videos about, and I was, my brain was just like, the fuck is happening? It wasn't channels. I should change that, by the way. It was also, like, websites. And I also think that mystery is leaving us, and I think that's also sad. Things are being analyzed so much mm-hmm. that the mystery of some of the excellence in games. So if I see something happen in a game and I think it's happening because I did something, that's my reality right then. Like, I'm making that reality whether they decided to or not. Sometimes, I don't know about you, like, when somebody debunks all that shit or breaks down how everything works, sometimes it removes a little bit of that mystery too, where I'm just like,
I it harkens back to a day where, like, you'd play, I remember, like, play a game on the PS2, I wouldn't know how to do something, and you'd shut off the game for a night, you come back the next day fresh head, you just get it that day, and you did it yourself. Where a lot of the times nowadays I won't get something, I'll sign off, I'll go on Twitter, and I'll see, like, 3 articles or people tweeting about
the same thing.
How they are either struggling with the same thing, or, like, player finds out how to unlock weapon X in this game, and here's how you can do it. And it's like, well, someone already did it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get what you're saying. Like, it strips away some of that
mystique,
excitement of discovering the undiscovered, really. Right.
Yeah.
And, so I feel you on that.
But I mean, it's my choice not to watch them.
The thing, though, yeah, true,
obviously,
true, absolutely.
It's on me.
But Red Dead 2, I think you'll be happy, because I remember with GTA 5, there were so many cool Easter eggs in that game, man. There were a ton of them, and I know Red Dead's going to be full of them. So that's what I've I touched on it, I think, two weeks ago with our episode where we talked about Red Dead 2. And I want to touch on again how just like I was more pumped about the camp than anything. And like that's the other thing is those little touches Rockstar puts in the game, the little Easter eggs. You know, like I remember on the phone, the websites you could find in GTA 5. And
yeah,
there was like the UFO alien rumor thing. And just that stuff is so cool to me. I find that ultimately more fun than the actual game. And I think that's. That taps into that sense of the mystery and discovery that you were hitting on.
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, I get you on that. But Red Dead 2 is finally upon us, and we will have to dig into that and see how many mysteries are going to be there for Carrick and I to solve. So, now, let's get into Days Gone. This is a PlayStation exclusive that has really entered development hell, clearly, and so we got the full blurb from the studio today. We want to share a change in release date for this highly anticipated title from Ben's studio. We recently decided to move the release of Days Gone from the crowded February timeframe to April 26, 2019, so that's 2 months after the fact. While the studio is eager to see Days Gone in the hands of fans, Ben's studio will take the opportunity to polish Days Gone further. Game Informer, I also noted while doing my research, said that in the late January/February releases will include Kingdom Hearts 3, Anthem, Metro Exodus, and the Resident Evil 2 remake. So, also, I think Crackdown 3 is in that mix, too.
Which
is like two console exclusives that have been in development hell for, it feels like, forever. Obviously, Crackdown a lot longer. But I feel like with this, that it's interesting their choice of words in the press release. They go, we want to move from the crowded February timeframe with Sony exclusive notoriously dominating, and then they're the one to move out of the crowded timeframe and not, you'd think, like a Metro. I thought Metro, out of all games in that crowded period, would be like, okay, look, like we haven't released a game since, like, what, 2014?
Yeah, it's been a long time.
You know, like, we probably should wait it out and have our own day, where I think a lot of people are going to look at Metro, for example, and it looks so good, and I cannot wait. But you have games like Kingdom Hearts that have that Disney allure. Anthem is going to do really well, I feel. Resident Evil 2, I think, is also, after Resident Evil 7, really put the series back on the map again. I feel like the Resident Evil 2 remake is going to excite fans again. That you'd think that Metro Exodus would be the one to move, but seeing that it's Days Gone, why do you feel that Sony decided, after touting such big exclusive sales every single time, God of War drop records broke, Spider-Man records broke, Horizon Zero Dawn records broke, why Days Gone? Why is this one, do you feel, why is this one moving?
I would assume most likely that they did see it and were, you know, not that they weren't excited by it, but they, you know, they look at a game and are just like, what is it going up against?
Gotcha.
And it makes sense. Maybe like for a company, especially, like, let's say Phil Spencer shows up and he's looking at your game and he's all, well, it looks good, but here's who you're competing against at this time. So I think what most likely happened is Sony just looked at it and was like, all right, it's a zombie game, which I think zombie games are on their, they're not ever going to go away, but they're certainly not at the pinnacle that they were before. Zombies were so big for so long that I think that that comes up. But also, you do have some strange situations like Spider-Man's DLC.
Mm-hmm.
And in these games that are out that are huge, they may have also looked at that and said, listen, you're fighting now against all these other successes, which we've already talked about. Like a Spider-Man or a God of War, whatever. You know what? Let's hold back a little while so that when we do release it, you're not fighting yourself. Because that's another thing you don't want to do, right? You don't want to, like, really be fighting your own company for mindshare. So most likely it's a mixture of that. And then, I mean, I don't know if I believe them just saying that they delayed it. Like, that part of it, just we chose to. Usually not how it happens. I mean, remembering that millions of dollars are lost whenever they do that.
Yeah, because they always say you don't sit on a finished product. Once it's ready, it's out. So it's clearly not there yet. What do you think? Here's the thing is, what I saw from that game, I remember we talked about it in a previous episode, and I know we were both kind of like, we've seen this type of game in a sense before. It didn't seem to really stand out identity wise. Where like Spider-Man stands out, it's, you know, a superhero game. God of War stands out for its own reasons. Horizon did for its universe for sure. Where I don't think Days Gone poked that curiosity that so many PS exclusives have, but at the same time, the game itself looked solid. Like the amount of
zombies,
the amount of zombies on screen, the harshness of the universe. I guess the only thing I can think of is it seems like a hybrid of all the Sony exclusives, and not its own original thing. That's the really only thing I can hit on that just by looking at it. I was like, this seems like what's off with the title. Is this one that, you know, because we're so used to Sony home run, do you think this is the one they slip on and it doesn't get those rave reviews?
I think that of all of their titles, this certainly has the highest chance of that. Just because I was impressed by the number as well, but I'm going to be honest, like when they were shooting guns at a ton of zombies running towards him, I disconnected. I was like, all right, we've seen this. I mean, we haven't, everybody tries to add something, right? Like State of Decay tries to add survival and zombies and building homes. But that game in particular, when they were showing it, I never once thought that it looked like a Sony exclusive, strangely enough.
Okay.
I never once went, this is Horizon Zero Dawn, but it, you know, the zombie version of it.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't look as good graphically. And I don't even remember who's making it. It's not Guerrilla who made Horizon. Who's even making?
Sony Bend.
Sony Bend. All right. Do you know what they've worked on prior?
Oh, man. Keep going. Let me double check.
I
have a couple. Yeah, you do that because I have a couple of games in mind. I want to say that I think they did Uncharted Golden Abyss on...
Fight for the Future and Golden Abyss. They did. Oh, it looks like it's all portable titles.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So this is their first time in consoles, I think.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Yeah. Yeah. So play back in the PlayStation 2 days, they made Siphon Filter.
They've made great games. Yeah. They've made great games. There was no question of that. Just, I think. It just has an identity issue. I feel like we've seen zombies.
We've even seen the main character. Like, you know, it's like Beanie, like me, whatever. You know, a biker dude. Like, it feels like a sequel to a game we never got. And been there, done that a little bit. Not that that'll stop me from liking it, but what I saw didn't make me go, oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
They also haven't shown much. That's the honest truth too. They haven't, like a Red Dead where they, you know, they're like, here's a system and here's how many fucking animals there are. And you know, here's a horse's testicles. That's cool. Cause you can go, okay, there's all that data. They really haven't done that much. So there might be these systems inside of that game that are very fun too. You know, that turn out to make the game really worth it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like what I see, but what's interesting is that with these delays, we haven't seen after the fact like what they've added, like, oh, this is what the delay was for, that really changes.
Exactly.
It, you know, I feel like that's the biggest part of it all. It's like everyone knows a game doesn't get worse when it gets delayed, but we haven't seen why it has become better. Because I'm going off memory, I haven't watched the gameplay for it in a really long while, but when I saw it, I was like, all right, like, cool, but I didn't see anything, like, super buggy about it. And I just wonder if it's, like, little things such as how the open world works, because I remember there was one point where you're driving around on your bike, and they had, like, a string just attached from tree to tree, and you get clotheslined by it, and it's just this dynamic open world event where you get ambushed. And it's like, how do they put that out there so often that it's not like intruding on the player, but it's a cool, unique thing that happens. I feel like when I saw that alone and then you see all the delays, I was like, okay, maybe they just have all these cool ideas for things that happen in the world, but how do they make the player naturally stumble upon them without it feeling forced? And if you keep getting hit by a million and one wires like across from trees, you know, how do you balance that out, but rather that can ruin the experience if not balanced, if not put in the right amount Like if it happens once, twice, sure. But if it happens like twice in 5 minutes, yeah, that instantly like ruins a big part of the experience.
Not and like, what else is going on in the world too?
Yeah.
Like, you know, to like, if it does happen a lot, is there other things that cause you to ignore that because mm-hmm. you understand and go, oh, okay. Like I understood why Spider-Man was 30 FPS because mm-hmm. of what they were doing. So the thing is there is no understanding for this game right now for me.
Oh,
I can't look at it and go, I understand.
Also, zombie AI. That's like, I feel the hardest thing to do because it has to not be too smart, but you don't want to have stupid AI.
Yeah, yeah, it's going to, I mean, and then like, I think the identity crisis is probably the biggest thing. Yeah. I just don't see, there's nothing about that. Horizon Zero Dawn, you're like, Tyrannosaurus Rex is a robot? Fucking yes. Mm. Like, twice yes. And three times on Sunday.
But it's also, like, they didn't even, like,
awesome.
Tell us anything story-wise. Just the game sold itself, you know what I'm saying? You
exactly.
saw it, and you're like, I want to be there.
And here, they didn't do that, but they also didn't say, oh, because we don't have cool creatures, whatever, we're going to show you more of the story. Instead, they didn't do either. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why it's hard for us to even identify what's happening. Right. And it really did look generic. Like, when he was, there's one part where he's got, like, an M16, he's shooting at all these zombies running. And it was the AI for sure as well, but it was like, it was just like, okay, there's some enemies getting shot, but there was no, there was never me going, I get it. Like, I now understand. You know what I wish they'd do? I wish they'd do a 3-minute trailer where they're like, in the year 2000, blah, 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 this happened. So that at least you get some story that you can look at whatever trailer and go, oh, I get it now. The reason why he's doing this is this. Yeah. Hopefully they'll do that.
I feel like what the game is going to thrive off of, which is the hardest to sell, I feel, in games, is just how shit can go south fast.
Yeah.
And what it's like to be holding the controller being like, oh, God, this is not good. And then, like, you see, I remember in the demo, like, he started setting shit on fire. He started, like, running around this mm-hmm. place, and just more True. And more yeah. started coming. And you were like, how do you get out of this mess? And that's what sold me. I was like, wow, you know, imagine being player there. That's got to be somewhat thrilling. But then the other thing is, like, do those swarms coming in, when shit starts to unravel fast, when does that get really annoying and you're like, okay, I just yeah. want to move on and not be swarmed constantly, like Far Cry 5, when you're traveling from point A to point B and people are spawning in front of you, or like, hey, it's him, and shooting you constantly. It's like, okay, I'm just trying to traverse.
Yeah, I mean, doesn't it feel, too, like every game has a shtick of some kind?
Yeah.
Like, Spider-Man's got swinging, right? Vampire's got its story, or it's like, it's narrative. There's always, like, this thing, and I guess with that game, I don't know what it is yet.
Yeah, I feel every game. That's why I always hit on it with my reviews, like, what's the core theme here? Because I feel like it's the spinal cord of a game. Like, when I was reviewing Thronebreaker, The Witcher Tales, I was like, the core of this game is trust. So if you are able to establish a connection with these characters and trust them, and based off of your decision, see if they betray you or they stick by your side, and how that all ends up at the end of this war, like, that is a strong theme that just constantly repeats itself throughout the game, where Spider-Man, it's like, be the hero. And so you see these epic yeah. screenshots, and you're changing your costume and being all types of heroes. God of War, I feel, is just kind of like a pinnacle AAA game, like, taking the God of War
power
mission
fantasy.
And just elevating it, right?
Yeah.
Like you said, Vampyr, very much like narrative conversation, getting to know people. Like, the average Joe is actually has his own set of problems, and there's much more than what meets the eye. And what do you want to do with that person? You will. Is it up to you to decide their fate? That kind of shit. And so I think as you pretty much touched on right there, like, when you look at Days Gone, it's like, what is the theme? It's like zombies. And people go, okay, I've watched 9 seasons of The Walking Dead. You know, it's,
yeah.
I get the core theme is zombies. What else do you have to offer me? And that's why you're saying you'd want to see a trailer, like, in the year, whatever, this is what happened. I would rather them just be like, this is what happened, man. Like, you're just in a world with zombies. And, like, let's talk about the story now. Like, no one cares about the outbreak, and we've seen I feel like, I could be wrong, this is why I'm currently not a game writer, but I feel like, how many creative spins can you put on the reasoning for a zombie outbreak in a video game and make it interesting for a player. When we've that's one trope, and I usually don't like saying that because I feel like there's a reason things are tropes, because sometimes, you know, when
one of the best things for them to do, though, would be, I mean, I don't care about if it's history or current. One of the best things they could do is explain it like no one knows, too. And then cover, you know, the current history right now. So, yeah, either way would be fine for me. I just think we need something to bounce off of narratively, which there's nothing right now. I don't know anything about his history, so I don't know why he's there. And I don't know anything about his current status, so I don't know how scared to be. Like, there's no fear because you're all, can he die 100 times? Can he, like, are there unlimited lives? Like, you don't know anything about that fucking game. So to me, the best bet for delaying it was not only all that, but most likely them looking at it and going, like, we need to actually get people to understand what it is. Like, you know, which does involve cutting demos out, you know. Are they going to, you know, show it at a, you know, isn't the PlayStation event in like...
They're not showing anything at that.
They're not showing it. Yeah. Okay.
I remember they confirmed that because...
Did they confirm that?
Yeah.
Plus, that would have been a
this
good
this is Xbox year. But yeah, I think next year... I think this is going to get kind of the Red Dead treatment. We were talking about how they really ramped it up last month or two. And I feel like that's what's going to happen in Days Gone. Where like people are going to be like, oh, they're going to feel the wrath of the gamers for the next... 5 months, we're going to hear about how Days Gone is dead, gone, over with, stupid, forgotten, and then I imagine just in Sony fashion that there will be these trailers and hype will start to gather around it, provided that come that point in time that there aren't other games in the month of April caring about. That's the chance that they take. So,
yeah, definitely we'll the biggest chance, too.
We'll see. Next bit of news revolves around another big company called Activision. This is probably the topic I was most excited to talk about in this week's news lineup because I pulled from a lot of sources here, and I think the conversation goes a lot deeper because the headline is Black Ops 4 sales hit $500 million in the first 3 days. That's amazing, right? Well, I looked at what Forbes had to say, which they had an excellent write-up on this, by the way, and they said, after all, one of the biggest games of the year was Far Cry 5, and it earned only $310 million across its entire launch week. The Avengers Infinity War brought in $258.2 million domestically on its first weekend, making it the top opening weekend of any film, and pulled in $640.9 million globally. So, you know, I know movies are cheaper, and in technicality, Avengers did make more. But Black Ops 4 is up there as one of the biggest weekend launches in entertainment in 2018. The fact that it's up there with a Avengers movie, like the pinnacle of the Avengers storyline right now, is pretty crazy to me. Furthermore, Black Ops 4 managed to disappoint investors, as Investors.com mentions Activision stock has plummeted 8.3% to 71.81 on the stock market. It undercut its 50-day and 200-day moving averages on Thursday. There were apparent high expectations for this game. So, yes, even though it sold $500 million worth in its first 3 days, there were high expectations that were not met. Activision stock also is being pressured by speculation that the company won't be showing its rumored Diablo 4 game at the BlizzCon show. Cohen analyst Doug Krutz said that fan show runs from November 2nd to the 3rd in Anaheim, California. The lack of a Diablo 4 announcement seems to rule out a 2020 launch, which has been assumed by Activision Bulls, Krutz says. He reiterated his market perform rating on the stock with a price target of 66. So, with all of this said, I want to ask, did the removal of a single-player component help or hurt Black Ops 4 ultimately? Because we see it's one of the biggest entertainment launches of this year. The biggest game launch this year, it seems. Granted, this is without a Red Dead, but this is weeks before Red Dead. People are spending this much money on it. But we're seeing investors are disappointed. But yet, last year... I don't have the stats for it, but it did perform better than last year's Call of Duty on its opening weekend. So, with all of that out there, Carrick, what do you feel? Do you think that Activision made a good choice here with no campaign, or how are you feeling about this?
Yeah, because I personally feel that if it takes Battle Royale and actually does it right as a AAA company. And a lot of companies tried. Fortnite does it, but not with shooters, like in the same way, not with a more realistic, whatever you want to call it, gritty look to it. I think most likely, I mean, also, we don't know how much that campaign would have cost. How much would the campaign have added $50, $70 million onto the end result? And then what would it have taken away? I think Black Ops launched at a perfect time. And I think that it's different enough from Red Dead, and there's no Red Dead Online component, that they're not going to eat each other. You know, they're not going to, like, you know, eat up each other's revenue. That, to me, any way you slice it, if you add single player, you've added time, and you've either added time or removed what you have in the Battle Royale. And from what I understand, because I've only played a little bit of it, but everybody I know, even people who hate Call of Duty normally, really are having a good time with the game. Zombies or Black Ops or even the normal MP. So
interesting.
To me, I'm just like, I'm not in that because I just didn't have the timing. But it certainly seemed, I mean, every person I talk to is just like, holy shit, this is like, they get why people liked Battle Royale, but they needed this level of quality to see it.
Gotcha.
Like, for whatever reason, Fortnite wasn't doing it for.
Interesting. Because with this game, it's surprising to me because I've been playing it, and I play Call of Duty for a very different reason. I like to go on game battles, and I like to join a team with my friends, and we play random other teams online, and it's much more competitive. And so I always look at it first from that standpoint. Like, how does this game perform competitively? And as a game mechanically, it's really well done because I like the 150 health. I like the stim regen where it's not automatic health comes back, but rather a actual equipment you use. I like the gun balance, but the custom games in this title are so buggy and broken. This has been patched, but upon launch, the game would end. If you're playing Search and Destroy, it would end after 7 rounds no matter what. Like, it would be 4-3. And the game would just end. The game crashes a lot. Like, a lot. I've already had 3 crashes. Sometimes when you're loading in, it'll do like a 5-4-3-2-1 countdown. And then it'll fade to black and it'll stay black. And then it'll just boot you all to the main menu. The game's really buggy, which I'm very tolerant with. I've been totally honest about my perspective on bugs in the past. Like, I'm usually not one to just mob and freak out about
all that stuff
because, you know, at the end of the day, I get that it's not easy, and also I sometimes find them funny. But what bothers me about this, and I know some people will think, oh, it's because you hate Activision, and it's like, no, I want Activision to succeed, you know, because they do make some games. I'm looking forward to Sekiro. I love Overwatch. I love Diablo. And I am enjoying Black Ops 4. But what's annoying about this to me is, okay, you cut out the campaign to focus on multiplayer, to go all in on that, all your resources are there. So why is it that one of the most fundamental basic features of your game, custom matches, and the title itself is so non-functional? You know, it hardly works sometimes. You know, we'll try to start up a map because it's a map set of 3, so best 2 out of 3. And sometimes we'll spend 20 fucking minutes getting this thing up and running because what happens is you're not going to play with a man down. So you got 8 people in a match, and like one person disconnects because their game crashed and they faded to black and got booted. So then you got to end it, restart it. Maybe this time everyone fades to black. We get kicked out again. Or maybe this time the lobby bugs out and it'll say everyone's there, but on someone else's screen, you're not there, which means you're probably going to be the person who gets kicked. Like, it just sometimes doesn't work. And it sucks because what is there mechanically is a very fun game that is well balanced, which I didn't think would ever come out of my mouth. And I love what's there because I enjoyed Blackout during the beta. I haven't really jumped into the final product there, but I love the competitive play, and I really haven't taken a dive into zombies, but like the game is buggy. And like I said, I usually don't care, but when you're going to cut out a whole part of the game to invest those same resources in the multiplayer, I think that something like custom games would work totally fine. And the fact that it still is not fully functionable, and that for some reason the game launched where they had to patch in that the search and destroy matches don't end after 7 rounds. So, you know, when we first started playing the game, we'd play, and like I said, it'd be 4-3, the game would end, we'd have to start back up, and then you couple in those bugs I mentioned earlier, and the game would crash a bunch of times, so a map that would take normally 8 minutes would take, like, up to 20 to 25 with all the crashes and everything accounted for, and it just got really frustrating. So, apologies on the rant, but as you can tell, it's, like, frustrating because I really am enjoying it, but there's just, it's frustrating that there's so much wrong with the game when they put the money there and said, like, we're going to clean it up because no single player. Have you had a chance to play?
The crew didn't have the ability to put the crew in it when it released.
Ugh.
It didn't even have a multiplayer component in the crew, and that never had a single player game and probably had just as much money spent. So it's like, you never quite know. Yeah, a little bit, not a ton.
Okay.
That I've played. And I would also say with bugs that it just may be one of the things where there's two things probably going on. One, the people who really, really like it probably don't experience as many bugs. Or two, which is even more, I think, liable to happen, is that they played PUBG prior and it was buggier.
That's true.
Because PUBG, watching people try to shoot each other when PUBG first released on the Xbox was one of the most frustrating videos I've ever seen in my life. They couldn't even hit each other because the lag was so bad, so much latency. So what may have happened, dude, is when you come off those shit games and you're thinking, I don't like Fortnite because of the way it looks. I don't like the free games on Steam that do this, or even the paid games, early access on Steam, and here's this full game. I personally feel that there's a chance people are just either not experiencing it, or they are, and they're like, yeah, but it's not as bad as what I experienced with PUBG.
Gotcha.
And it doesn't mean that they would rate it a certain thing. It just means that they're getting that enjoyment out that's higher than the worry about those bugs. To me, if I was having the issues you were having, you would hear about it in a review. Like, if I was reviewing that and I had the bugs, the crashes you had, I'd be like, motherfucker. Like, I would be legitimately angry. But you and I may not, I mean, the majority of people playing COD may not care about the bugs because the games aren't necessarily lacking in bugs anyway, or weird shit.
Yeah, you know? And a lot of people are willing to overlook it this time, and I get why, because the game is good. Like, I will say, full on, they did a good job, and I can't say I'm particularly surprised, because I've said historically, there's something about the Treyarch Call of Duties, there's just this level of effort and attention to detail on gun balancing and how maps play out that I've always just, I've loved all the Black Ops games, I loved World at War, and I loved MW2. So it's a very short list of Call of Duty titles I've loved, and most of them are populated by Treyarch games. So, like, I'm not surprised. I know some people may think it's biased, but, like, World War II, I didn't mind. I know you didn't like that one in particular, because that one for you, I remember you said, was really buggy in the single-player campaign.
It was buggy as fuck, yeah.
Yeah.
That, which was the major reason, yeah.
So it's like, I totally get why people are willing to look by it. Just for me, it's because it's in the custom games, which I feel is always a safe bet, right? You always feel like that's going to be the part of the game that just is fundamental. It works fine. It's something that didn't receive a lot of changes. In fact, compared to World War II, it regressed. Like, in World War II, they had a full integrated game battle server. You literally click a button and matches you up with the people you're playing. All the rules are put into place. It's completely set up for you. Where this one, you got to set up the private match, invite everyone in. It's all manual. So it actually took a step back in that regard. So you thought that, okay, it's back to basics again, whatever. But yeah, if it doesn't even work at times, I mean, that's just, it's annoying. It's tiresome. It's like, it's one of those, you know, we were talking earlier about, like, the fatigue factor with some games where you're just like, oh, I'm done. Like, I just don't want to play right now. And, like, that's what it'll do when, like, the map ends 3 times in a row because of bugs. It's just very,
I mean,
annoying.
I also don't know what the server skew is. Are people just not using the same systems as you? Like, do they not care about custom and they're doing something else? I don't know anything about the numbers. Like, are people not responding because they just aren't using the same, you know, options you are, or something like that? But I mean, that can certainly happen at times where, like, I'll go into a game and be like, this one element isn't very good, but then I'll find out that that's, like, a minimal element or something for whatever reason. I think that there's enough casuals jumping into this that what you're talking about, they may not even do. So a lot of casuals may just be like smashing the play button. And I don't mean casuals in a bad way. I mean people who see this and go, fuck that. It looks better than PUBG. And I want to play it. So they're just smashing the A button. They're not setting up custom anything. Matter of fact, almost everybody I know in my Discord isn't even teaming up at all. They're quite literally just going into whatever game opens for them and just playing it. So maybe they're just not... Maybe the people who've jumped into this title, plus the old people like yourself and myself who played the prior ones, maybe they just aren't seeing that as much. And that's why it's not being brought up. Because if you're not seeing it brought up everywhere, and I haven't seen any Reddits on this, if I was like seeing Reddit links where people are like, how the fuck is this, blah, blah, blah. And then you have to go like, yeah, why isn't that? Mm-hmm. But if you're not seeing it, then you also have to say, oh, maybe it's just because this one element I think is important and I use and we all use and everybody I know uses, but for whatever reason, this new version of the game is not hitting the same mark for the other games that are out there. I don't know if that's true or not. I'm just saying that I assume that can happen.
I think you're right too, that just not a lot of, compared to how many millions of people are playing public, which works fine compared to how many people play customs. Like I get why, but I feel like the competitive scene isn't as small as it once was with Call of Duty. Like obviously Dota and League and
There's Twitch Overwatch. Stream right now of people playing it as in competitively. I just don't know how they set that up. I don't know if I have no clue.
It's like literally just a private match, you send an invite. Like I said, back then Jesus Christ, back a year ago in World War II, you would literally just, it would say like public private game battles, and you literally click game battles and it just has its own server that puts you there with like your team. And that was a little buggy at first, but it made sense because it was a brand new thing, right? So like when it went back, like they were like, all right, no dedicated game battle servers, we're going back and we're having you host your own private match. So not only was there host advantage again, which is a huge deal, because if you're hosting that game, like you don't have to worry about latency as much as Joe Blow on the other team. So that was the other thing that came with it. Like, there were negatives that came with it already. So you thought at least, okay, if it's going back to the fundamentals, this should just work off the bat. And it didn't, which is ultimately a little more frustrating. Like I said, though, I don't want to get on a negative spree about it just because there is a lot to love about the gun balance. Obviously, the ICR is ridiculous. It's like a fucking laser beam, but it reminds me of MW2 in the best ways possible. Like, I loved MW2's gun balance. I loved it because MW2, I'm sorry, I have to go on a competitive spiel. MW2 is full of head glitches. So a gun like the ACR in that game was so nice to have, because you would literally, if you had a good enough shot, you would be able to pick people off of these head glitches, no problem. But they're talking about patching the ICR, and Black Ops 4 has a lot of really nasty head glitches. So it's like, I want them to leave it as is, because like other than the technical stuff, they have a really sound game here in what they offer public match-wise and private match-wise with gun balance and map control and how it's all split up. So I really like what they're doing. And it's the only Call of Duty in a really long time I can think of that launched. And I'm like, wow, I kind of just want this to stay, you know? So that's kind of where I stand on it, personally.
Diablo 4, though. I'll probably play it in the next couple weeks. Who knows?
Yeah, if you got like an hour to kill, it's worth just hopping into some pubs and seeing how it rolls. All right.
Yeah, I don't know why. I think I just got busy with something and I don't know. Yeah, I guess right now I'm just not into like those kind of shooters.
Well, hey man, speaking of getting busy. We can talk about what we're expecting to crack on our Game of the Year list and what we're playing. So what have you been... can I speak this podcast or fucking what? What have you been playing, Carrick, my good friend?
Call of Cthulhu. Mm-hmm. And I think... I don't know if that... I'm not near far enough to like say if that's, you know, going to be on the top list or whatever.
Right.
Spider-Man DLC, other games I can't talk about, but Spider-Man and its DLC, I think probably one of the few times where DLC is worth it. And I mean worth it by like the wait, you know, it's like, oh God, here we go. You got to wait and then you got to jump back into the game and all that shit. So those two most right now. And then a bunch of just generic games. Like, I mean, we did a bunch of that Generation Zero, the new game by Avalanche, who did Rage, or who are doing Rage 2, but they're also doing this. It's like a Left 4 Dead in the 1980s UK forests with robots. And playing a bunch of that. It's not amazing, but it's been enjoyable. That's pretty much it.
Cool. Yeah, for me, I've been playing... I've been on my Switch a lot lately. So have I.
True.
You know, I missed my Switch. Before the Bethesda event for Fallout 76, I had the plan to start The Messenger. And what review did I get wrapped up? I got wrapped up in my AC Odyssey review where the embargo lifted the day before I left. So I had to grind out AC. So I never had a chance to start The Messenger because once I beat AC, like, you know, once you beat that game, you're like, okay, I can fucking breathe. That's a big game. I want to just go to the event now in my case. And so when I came back home, I had finally started The Messenger a week after. So I've been playing that. That's an indie game that's largely inspired by Ninja Gaiden, but has a really cool mechanic where you kind of change time periods. So when you change time periods, it's represented in the art and music. So you go from 8-bit to 16-bit and then like back, and the environment and the levels change and the enemies change. And it's really, really cool. It's a great game. It's got a wonderful soundtrack. I love the boss fights. It's definitely a hidden gem for sure. And I am going to make a video down the line talking about it more because I love it so much for what it is. I hope that it has found an audience. It was actually really cool. The developers had reached out to me and they're like, hey, would you want to code? Because I'd use their music in my Fallout 76 vlog. And they're like, you know, we saw that. Like, would you want to code for it? And I was like, oh, I'm already playing the game, actually. It's funny you mentioned that. And like, I send them a picture and they're like, oh, wow, that's awesome. So that was a pretty cool interaction. But I've been playing that. I've been playing Dragon Ball FighterZ on my Switch a lot. Still, that's, you know, while we're on the topic of games that are probably going to crack our Game of the Year list, that's probably going to be one for me, because while that's been an up and down ride for me, ultimately I adore that game. And then, man, a lot of fighters when you fucking think about it. Jesus Christ, I've been playing Soul Calibur 6. That just dropped. Like I mentioned earlier, I got my review code for that Tuesday. I started up on Wednesday, played a little bit. I love the amount of single player content there. It's about fucking time, dude. Like, I don't know about you. How much have you like dug into that game?
I beat it. I did all the single player. I'm not really in love with it, but I get why people. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I feel like it sort of shortchanges you on the costume, the creator character.
Oh yeah.
Compared to the original, it also really shortchanges you on the stages. The number of stages compared to the last one is fucking brutal. Gotcha. What I liked is, what's the fucking term for the rock, paper, scissors move?
Reversal edge or something like that.
Whatever that is. I know that people are going to hate it, but I actually, when I had a friend come over so we could test it, he was like, dude, I don't like Soul Calibur. I sort of dig that. Like, there's something about it that at least makes me feel like I'm not getting my ass handed to me all the time. The thing with the single player, though, is, Maddie, if you are not a Soul Calibur fan, it is the worst translated, worst stories, worst voice acting. I don't see it because
Story? This too.
All of them.
Okay.
I'm talking about the top choice, the soul.
Because there's like the mission mode where you create your own character.
Yeah, that one's bad. But I'm actually talking about the one where you pick the storylines.
Okay, I haven't done that one yet.
So it's funny because it's like what you and I would. So if you play Persona, you hear some of that, or you play Yakuza, and you're like, I get where this is coming from. Soul Calibur has always cracked me up because the shit doesn't make sense. And the best thing is the first fight I had, my guy comes out, says nothing. Doesn't say a fucking word. Mm-hmm. And the enemy comes out and is like, why don't you just shut up? And I don't know why that cracked me up, but I'm like, that's how it started. And then suddenly fighters are talking about like galleons filled with witches. You know, the announcer guy is like, you know, he's like,
oh, I love the announcer.
Full of witches will bring trouble to the land or whatever. I'm like, what the fuck are they talking about? That I do like. I I like it, but I know that a lot of people I've shown it to are like, who fucking translated? But it's Soul Calibur. Like, that's Soul Calibur stories never, right? Like, it's never made a bunch of sense. So see, I'm okay with that.
I like the, I haven't, as I mentioned, I haven't tried the story mode. I like the
you
mission
did the
mode.
Create a character mission mode.
I like that because it's usually I feel like so many RPG mechanics are like shoehorned in the games, but I actually liked how they did this one with some like little tiny choices there, but also like how they do progression where you unlock different weapons and because they're assigned to the fighting styles of different 20 plus characters on the roster, that like you're constantly fighting differently. And so it's a good way to learn the game too, but it's a nice kind of mindless thing where you just read some text and you go through the motions. I really like that. Because when you look at fighting games, like I've been playing Dragon Ball FighterZ this entire year, and I love that game so much, but I literally go on and go straight to multiplayer because there's no quality single player content. There's a story mode, which I actually thought was underrated, and there's a tournament mode and an arcade mode. And the tournament and arcade mode, as far as I'm concerned, are like the one and the same thing. They're very much the same. They honestly suck, if I'm totally truthful about it. But when you look at Soul Calibur, it's like, okay, you got a mission mode that ties to the character creator, and then you got the separate stories, which I can't have an opinion on too much, but then you have the arcade, and then you have versus battle, and then there's online play. Like, sometimes I want to come on and just play the fighting game, and I don't want to, like, get my ass beat or beat some ass online. Like, I just want to play. You know how, like, in Injustice 2, they had, like, the challenges and events every day in that global mode or whatever it was called? Mm-hmm. Obviously, Soul Calibur doesn't have that, but I like how they have an assortment of single player options where I can go in and sometimes I just want to toy around with another fighter. And so I can go into arcade and just fight a series of 8 fighters who get tougher each time and enjoy that. I really like that about the game. You know, I can really appreciate the assortment of content that's there personally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll have to see once you do all of it, what you think. I think for me, my love started to drag.
Mm.
Like, I at some point, I don't know what it is, but at some point I just started like being less and less interested.
I think it's because like even one thing I've noticed immediately was like before the fights, like one thing that's really picked up in fighting games, like you see in Injustice, Dragon Ball, literally every fighting game, is like there's unique dialogue interactions between most characters, no matter who's fighting who, and it kind of fills the gaps in on some of the underlying story from previous games, and like, oh, there's history between these two. I wonder what's going on. You know to look for that. And like this game has like I've played it for a good couple of hours and I've only had that happen once where like two characters just said something to one another instead of being like, all right, I'm ready to fight. And then they'll say like, yeah, you need, like you said, you need to shut up. You know, it's like, okay, let's
I will also say, I don't know about you, what version are you playing? What console?
Just regular PS4.
I got to go back and play the other one, but I would swear to shit, man, that thing doesn't look very good graphically. Like, I don't know what it is about the lighting, which definitely looks flat, but something about it, I don't know. Like, the special moves always look cool. I've always liked those in Soul Calibur. But there was something about the graphics overall, and it might just be also the lack of variability. You know, with only 12 stages versus 20, it may just be that, where there just wasn't as many, and so your brain doesn't get, like, that surprise overall. I like the character creator. That's been pretty fun. I'm not a big fan of fucking how little there is compared to others. That shit, you know, is coming
in DLC.
It's
strange because
it's very strange.
Namco put out Tekken 7 last year. I know it's a different developer, but, like, holy crap, that character creator in that game was, like, fucking fantastic. You could make whoever the hell, whatever you wanted in that game. And in this game, I got excited because I saw, like, you can make a humanoid, you can make a lizard, a vampire.
Yeah, that I got excited when I picked the stone dude, the Colossus.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, man, like, you know, and imagine that with the options from Tekken 7, like, all the clothes you could put on and shit.
Yep.
And it's you play the story mode and you're getting gold and I'm like, okay, there's gonna be a store here where you can buy new clothes. I get it. Like they want me to play this story mode to unlock cosmetic stuff, and like all you do is buy weapons. And that was like the number one biggest disappointment. I was like, what the fuck? Like why so little? You know, because it's what's really odd is they give off this idea that, like, okay, there's going to be a lot of cosmetics. Because, like, when you open up the menu, you see, like, one of the first things you see is a giant pink afro.
Yeah.
And then you see, like, all these different anime hairstyles, and you're thinking, like, okay, there's going to be a little bit more. But, like, they just give you all the options right away.
You will unlock, just so you know, you will unlock the second currency when you do the other single player content. The soul
points?
Points, which does allow you to buy these stuff for your created character.
There is more stuff.
Well, you'll have to see. There isn't. It's really interesting. Have you tried to create a character and pick any of the options? Because if you do, it'll state you need 200 SP to buy this. So the shit's there, but it's not actually there. Only some of it is. Yeah. So go into your create a character next time and start clicking on hats. And half the hats will say, blink, and they'll pop up on your character's face. Others will be like, you need 200 SP points. And you're all, really?
In the mission mode, when you go into the character creator, everything's there though, right? Everything's there and available, and you can just do what you want.
Yeah, that's
interesting.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's odd. That's why, I mean, there's a lot of videos where people are like, what the fuck? That if there's anything people are complaining about, it's that in particular.
Yeah, which I get totally.
Yeah, which I get totally as well. It was odd. And when you go in, like, I can't remember what it was, but I think there was a top hat. There was a top hat, there were some horns. And I think it was the horns that were free, but the top hat wasn't. And I was like, what? But if I remember right, I'll have to look at my video, because remember, I was hopped up on drugs like a motherfucker. But when I'm searching, I don't remember an icon stating this one has to be bought. They just were all, they looked there.
Yeah, like they weren't, and like then grayed out. For example.
Yeah, they weren't like, or a fucking present, you know, like in some, I think Virtual Fighter even did that, where it looked like a birthday present and you like bought it and then that present went away, indicating you had bought it. So it was weird to have two currencies. And you know me, maybe we've talked about this, I think we have, but I fucking hate games with two currencies or more.
It usually indicates
DLC, monetization, it usually indicates something that I don't like. And
yeah,
that has no reason. When you're playing it, you're like, because I was doing the level you're doing. You're getting these stories, and they're like, do you want to choose the bad guy thing or the good guy thing? Do you want to kill this guy? You know, as you go through, and you're like, oh, wow. But if you notice, it's only gold. And then you go into the other one.
And you translate the soul points.
And it goes to soul points. And you'll start seeing stores in the single player that you're playing, the creative character one. You're going to start seeing stores that if you go in, it'll have an option saying translate SP to gold.
Yeah, I unlocked that just today, actually.
Yeah, so there's...
And I was confused, because I was like, oh, I can buy artwork
can
from
why.
The museum, but I don't want to do that. Like, I want to unlock items for my character.
Yeah, it's weird, dude. I don't know what they're doing. That's what I think that's what hit me the most, is I had, you know, I liked the last one. I didn't love it, but I liked the last one. And it felt like there was a lot. This one, somebody on Resetera, I think, or NeoGAF, broke it down, and there was... There was a pretty big, like, drop in what was available, which was a little sad.
Yeah.
And overall, it's still a Soul Calibur game.
Mm-hmm.
It's still got Lizard Man, which is my fave. So
I never played Soul Calibur 5, so that's the thing. Is like, I loved 4. I loved 2. I played 2 on the GameCube because of Link. But I never played 5. So
was 4 was Darth Vader or Yoda?
Yes. 5 was Ezio. 5.
Ezio. The nice thing about this is there is no platform exclusive character.
Yeah.
Geralt comes with everything. And I got to admit, as a character from another fiction, I'm pretty okay with him. I thought he was going to be, I mean, not to be rude. Well, he's got a couple Bruce Lee kicks where you're like, what the fuck is, you know, Geralt pulling this kick off? Like, this kick is a little goofy.
And it's interesting hearing him yell as a fighting character versus, like, how calm, cool, and collected he is in-game, no matter what the fuck happens. Like, in this game,
his voice
actor
ain't great. Mike Williams was saying on our earlier podcast, he was like, whoever did the voice acting, it was like, hey, Bob, man, you can talk out loud. Come here and do the voice acting. I'm not in love with his voice acting, but I love his entry. I think he's fun to play, actually. His dual swords. I will say one thing, I don't know about you. I would love for there to be more customization of weapon. It really feels like they have not stepped up in the one place that they're unique. Soul Calibur is known for weapons.
Mm-hmm.
What I want is I want 1,000 types of nunchucks, motherfuckers. I want, like, you know what I mean? Like, I want to be able to put fucking balloons at the end. I want to be able to put dragon heads.
Yeah, they didn't get crazy with it. Because, I keep looking at Tekken just because it's a recent Namco fighter with the same system.
It's got 700 unlocks, I think.
Yeah,
Tekken.
It's insane, dude. And, like, they're funny ones, too. Like, it feels like in Soul Calibur, I get why it takes itself seriously to an extent, but it took itself so seriously that they tried to, like, limit the character creation options. And one of the first character creations I saw was, like, a giant scaly lizard walking around with a huge dick, and he had Voldo's moveset, so he'd just, like, hump the air.
Yep, yeah.
It was funny as shit, but I was like, I feel like this is kind of working against what the developers wanted. So with the soul points in there, do you feel like this is – I can't help but feel so because of all the multiple currencies already, but do you think they're going to add, like, packs of new cosmetics?
Unfortunately. Seems like, unfortunately. Way. Dude, they're missing a lot of stuff. I mean, just talk about stages alone. I think it's 12 versus 20 or 12 versus 22 or some crazy amount. And I was just like – and you can tell when you go in to pick the stages. You're like, this does not seem like there's many stages. Even the way you choose characters is weird. Like, I don't know if you know this, but I think it's on your second character that you can't even choose a custom. You can choose the custom only on the one player. So there's some almost – do you remember how Street Fighter V came out and it was missing its single player? And people were like,
"Oh, I see. I didn't pay attention to that because I'm not good at Street Fighter at all. So I don't.
So
touch
okay.
It.
So it was missing its single player, and like the mode was missing, and they added it later. And there were various, like I think the arcade mode was missing. It was like just a test mode. Yeah, it feels like this is what's happened here is that it's almost like a beta, and I don't know if they're going towards the competitive market,
seems
or not.
From what I've heard.
It seems like that, but then the competitive market yesterday released the lag report on that game, and it's fucking horrendous. So it's like, I don't know if competitive market's going to pick up on it. Like, one of the YouTubers who does competitive did a bunch of frame analysis, and it's not great. So I don't know if the competitive market will pick it up. I wish they would have done more to front load it. I love the single player stuff, even if it's goofy, you know. I like it'll be like, do you want to kill this person or say, like, you know, the other character, you'd be like, okay, I'll kill him, you know, and it's red to tell you that's the bad guy choice.
Yeah.
And it'll give you that thing. I love when it's like you've tilted towards evil.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's got a goofy take on good versus evil, almost cliched, and it's fun in that way where it's weird that the character creator takes itself so seriously, like, create the most epic badass ever. I'm like, dude, I want to remake Todd Howard and absolutely conquer all of this mode and everything it has to offer just so I can say I did that and make a fucking meme about it. You know, I think that's hilarious. But I'm enjoying that game personally. What else have I been playing? Yeah, just The Messenger, Soul Calibur, Dragon Ball. I guess, I'm just wrapping those up before the beta, because that's going to be what, for Fallout, that's going to be what takes up my time.
What day is that, Maddie?
That is the same day you are on the Co-Optional podcast. Tuesday, the 23rd.
Oh, yeah, I forgot him. Jesus Christ. I got to make sure I remember to even go
I just remember
because
I saw
up.
It on Twitter. I was like, oh, that's the same day.
I don't know, man. I'm a little bit more excited, but not necessarily because of, like, anything the game's offering. Just like a couple of my friends are like getting it, you know, in Discord, and they're like, hey, you know, we'll play. And the idea of, like you said, maybe playing it single player and just disappearing from society for a little while, I sort of think that might be what I do too. Because I'm not quite sure I'm going to review it in a typical review fashion.
Mm-hmm. You know what it's like? Remember how I played Injustice 2 in and out, dropped off? I feel like, and then you stuck with it, and you were like, dude, I'm still...
Dude, I played it yesterday.
There you go. You go.
Yeah.
So, you got to be filthy at this game, by the way. You played so much, but...
Nope. I mean, I can... do you mean online? Against my friends, I'm fine. But online, no, I still... Just like you, dude. I get, like...
I find that crazy.
Yeah, and you're right. Like, the online... And that's why you don't like it as much, because you've stated, you know, it's like you go online and you like projectile heavy or what have you. But do you know what I love? I just like the zing when you open a mother box. I don't like it's my jam. Like, I will just I'll be salivating. Like, no, this is like a microtransaction for somebody who gambles a lot. But I'll see that fucking thing, and I'll be like, do you want to open your mother box? I'll be like, oh, yeah. And I'll be all, it does that cool, and then it's like, boom, 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 and it
yeah,
shows
it just
armor.
Hits you with all the good stuff. It's good aesthetics.
Yeah, and it is. It is. So that's why I got it, or that's why I like it, but...
Yeah, I feel like I'm going to be like that with Soul Calibur, at least from the outside looking in after like 5 hours with it. Just I enjoy because I haven't gone on it and been like, I want to, you know, because there's some days like when I'm reviewing a game or when I have a day off and I'm like, all right, today is going to be a day I game. I'm just going to go all in on this game and like give it all my time. Right. I haven't had that feeling with Soul Calibur where it's like, I want to play Soul Calibur all day. It's like. When my like if it's a late night on PS4, I'm on with my friends and I want to play something but like not pay attention to a story. You know, I'll flip through some of the text in the mission mode and I'll do that. You know, it's like perfect for that type of stuff. And just sometimes like, you know, I don't want to pick up the Switch, but it's like, oh yeah, an hour. Yeah. I'll dick around the arcade mode in Soul Calibur. Like it's that type of game where I feel like I'm just going to return to kind of like I did for a while with Tekken, but Tekken didn't offer that same amount of single player content. That's why I'm so pumped about this game. Cause I was like, wow, there's a lot to take in here. Like once, you know, I gradually chip my way through the mission mode and all its side content, I'll get to move over to the story mode, chip through that and, you know, get really familiar with the game. So it's like
the story mode, just to warn you, it looks lean when you first start, cause it shows a book and another book to indicate the starting and the ending. And then sometimes it'll show multiple books to indicate like chapter breaks. Right.
Yeah.
But that's not the full number of fights. It can be far bigger. So there's one, I think it's Maxi, who's got like two, and I was all, fuck man, this is going to be a fast, like it's going to be a couple fights. Yeah. And I click it and it was, you know, it was like 12 fights. And that's when I started realizing as I went through the different characters that it looks like it's just a couple. It's again, it's a little, it's not the greatest way of showing you what's there. Right. But though there's a lot more there. What level are you in the, graded character? Do you,
12?
Do you remember? 12. Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Pretty early.
So you got a lot of stuff. And you're still, and the cool thing is you can still fight people way above your level.
Yeah.
Which is always nice.
That's what I love because I actually did a mission way above my level where the guy was like 20, but we were on like a very slippery area. So we're all dashing around the stage. And so I was just like doing it to maneuver. And then like he'd dedicate to an attack and I'd sidestep him and he'd just send himself off the edge of the stage and I have him ring himself out. And that's what I love about that mode. It's like, okay, they're doing like extra damage, bonus to counterattacks. The slippery stage stuff is great. I really like what they've done to spice it up. You know, will it like down the line become repetitive or whatever? Maybe. But right now I'm really enjoying what's there. Just as like you do in your reviews, like a fun factor kind of thing. Like it's just a fun game.
So. I think also it's more slick than like an Injustice, which I love, is still
it's got some weight.
It feels like everybody's like locked, hey, you know, like fucking Gojiru karate. Everybody's locked into a specific thing. With one nice thing about Soul Calibur is it just feels a little slicker. Mm-hmm. I'm not very good at sidestepping at like 360 in that. Like Virtual Fighter, I'm very good for some reason. It might be the PS4 controller. I'm not a big fan of like its setup.
Yeah,
because
you gotta really press.
Yeah, but I like that you can do that in that game. I haven't got great at that, but it feels slicker regardless. It just feels slicker as a game. It feels a little bit more, just a little bit more fluid than an Injustice. Injustice just feels canned. You know, you can feel that everything is like exact, and I sort of dig Soul Calibur's like just. Overall slickness that it has to it.
Yeah, it's that gateway movement system that they've got in place that I think gives it, because no one feels slow. Like when you're walking towards someone, even like Nightmare, like the biggest fucking character in the game, is not like dragging his sword. Like he's like you, sidestepping. He's got like this huge
he ain't
swing.
Slow.
Yeah, so that's what I like too. It's definitely frantic.
Also, the what do you call it? What'd you call it? The edge, the one where you rock, paper, scissors. Yeah, one of the things I love about that is, and no other game's done this that I know of, I love that it blocks that attack. Mm-hmm. So it's used as a block, and then if you hit successfully, it then turns into this bigger thing. And I think that's cool because for some people, they may not be the greatest at blocking for whatever reason. I love that Soul Calibur is a button for blocking. I know a lot of people like pressing back. You're wrong. Just joking. I hate it, though. I love that in Soul Calibur, where you have your block button,
but you
also have this reverse edge thing where you're like, if I hit it perfectly, and in Soul Calibur, you can tell 1-2-3 combo, 1-2-3-4 combo. You can sort of pick up on things, and if you can hit it just right, you know, you can turn a battle around a little easier, I think, in Soul Calibur than you can in other games. I would say the AI is a little... I can tell what they're going to do. Oh, I will say this. Check this out, Manny. The AI, always susceptible to a sprint throw at the very beginning of the match. I've not yet failed.
Yeah.
I can sprint, throw them, and then they're on. And they're like, hello? And then they fight me. But that's the one thing I've noticed.
Yeah, that's because what I always do is a dash. I think it's just that first attack always hits because I dash in and I press square, like, and it's always 1-2, boom. And then they're like, all right, let's fight now. Like, you got my attention.
Yeah. It's like they're like, okay, bitch, I was going to be nice, but now I'm not. Yeah.
It reminds me of a boss fight in The Messenger. I remember it was the demon boss, which was like one of the final bosses before you have to start collecting music notes. I think it was the final boss before you start collecting music notes. And I found this exploit where, because it was such a hard boss fight, before it starts, you can like run in and do something where he doesn't attack you at all, and you just stand there and just swing your sword away and hit him, and then he like wakes up a couple of seconds later, so you like get a little advantage in the start, it was so helpful because that was a really hard boss fight. But yeah, Soul Calibur's got a similar thing like that.
Yeah, for sure.
As for games cracking the Game of the Year list, any you wanted to point out today?
You know, it's funny because I was saying 10 games and you were like, I don't know if I have 10, blah, blah, blah. But then what I did was I went back and looked at my Open Critic page and I got games you and I had both played. And I was going to send the email and I fucking forgot. So let me real quick open up Open Critic because I got to say, I don't know if I... So we played more than 10.
Right.
Right. So like I personally feel like I can come up with... I can probably come up with 10, but I think to me what I'm going to try to do is go back to old games and sort of come forward, because otherwise, you know, I mean, obviously I think a game like God of War is going to be on there. But there's also, so just looking through, for example, I really loved, and I don't think you played it or liked it, I can't remember which, I loved the free game, The Awesome Adventures of Captain Spirit.
I liked it.
The game.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
I liked that a lot.
I liked Wreckfest a lot. I liked Vampyre. I think we'll agree. I loved Detroit Become Human. I
haven't played that.
Going back, God of War, Far Cry 5. No, wouldn't be on there. A Way Out. Dude, I loved A Way Out. That really short 6-hour cinematic game.
That came out this
year,
didn't it? Man.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so that's what's funny. Warhammer Vermintide 2 came out this year. And so once I started looking way back, Gravel, very fun racing game. Now, again, if we're just going to the top 10 games, not the best games, but 10 full games, I think we can come up with some incredible ones, because it is crazy. January 22nd was fucking Dragon Ball Z. Like you said, you know, that'll for sure be on the list.
Absolutely.
Monster Hunter World, huge for me. I had a really good time. Will it be one? No. No.
No.
But it'll be on there. Yeah, so it's I would say for me, to go odd on my example, I would say A Way Out is on, like, top 10 games. You know, I've played a lot of games, but I really enjoyed A Way Out with a friend. We played that. I think the price was right, and I love the fact that you only need one copy to play the game. That needs to happen
so
as often as possible. Such a cool deal. So I would say that one will be on the list somewhere.
Mm. That one I thought was kind of like... not like it was a bad game, but there were so many parts that were so ridiculous that it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Where a friend and I did play through in one sitting, and when we liked what was there, because it was just like, we still joke about that game to this day about how Leo, I think his name was, his voice actor, man. My friend Tyler, who I played with, to this day, he still says, "Vinny, pass me some sheets." because the way he says it, just he thought was the funniest thing. What else did I see? I'm looking at my list right now. It's to my right because I write for me. I write down every game I beat because come this time of the year, I know it's easy to get so focused on the holiday period you forget that, oh shit! Like you just heard me now with The Way Out. I was like, that came out this year, right? You forget it's such a long year that like there are games that come out in January that you think may have came out late last year that you've really enjoyed that you can add to the list. So, you know, for me, I probably would slap Kingdom Come on that list. I liked that game a pretty good amount. It was buggy at times, but I admired the developer's dedication to get it fixed as soon as possible. I also liked how communicative they were with their audience, where, like, whenever I put out honest, harsh feedback about the game, like, this doesn't affect it being on my list, but like the developers would message me and thank me, be like, hey, we're like, we see the comments, we see what you're saying, and we're fixing that now, just so you know. It's like, okay, cool. I liked that direct line with them, because then you see in turn stuff was addressed fast, and that was great. But I also liked how exploration dependent it was. The combat was fresh. So that was a game that could probably, if I were to do a top 10, which I like I said, I don't think, this has been a good year for gaming, but I just don't think I liked enough games this year, man, where usually what I do is I'm looking at my list now and I go back and play games that I missed or that I had a nostalgia itch for. So I played games like Yakuza Kiwami. Like I would slap that on my game of the year list in a heartbeat, yep. But it was the first one, which came out, I think, last year.
Yeah,
so I can't.
And number two would definitely be on my list for this year.
Exactly, and I haven't had a chance to play two, but I played. Let's see here, Bayonetta 1. Like that's like 10 hours I could have put into something else, but I was just like, you know what? Like Bayonetta 3 got announced. I'm in the mood for it. The re-release came out for 1 and 2. I was like, fuck yeah! Like I want to play this fucking game, so I did.
Did you do Forza Horizon 4?
I never played it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That was just, yeah, that's the thing. I'm very picky now when it comes to the fall period because I literally have reviewed so many games this fall. But it's just, you know, for me, like, instead of reviewing that, I was like, okay, I have to have my list and I have to stick with it. You know, I got an offer to review Lego, which I wanted to, but I just my, you know, I'm glad I didn't accept because I had to review Thronebreaker, which I really, really enjoyed. Like, that's one that would absolutely end up on my list if I were to do a top 10. I know Gwent's not everybody's speed, but, dude, it is just creative. The freeform gameplay there with how you build your decks and how each battle has, like, a unique card on the other side of the field that you kind of have to work around and tackle differently. It's just so mentally engaging. It's so fun. The Choice and Consequence is like a point-and-click adventure game. And there's so much replayability, and it's $30. Like, it's such a good game. Like, I cannot recommend it enough. So that's another one that would probably sneak its way onto my list. AC Odyssey, easily. That was a great one. Would that be on your list? Because I know you went back and played as Alexios. I didn't even do that, and I was like, fuck yeah, I like this game.
Yeah, yeah, Odyssey would be on the list somewhere. Forza, Yakuza, for sure. When I was scrolling through my games, Spider-Man, of course, but I'm trying not to...
Yeah, Spider-Man, for
sure. You know, main ones. But for me, like, two indies are, like, the Kingsbird. Kingsbird is fucking awesome. And then Banner Saga 3, which I liked. I thought there were some issues with it, but overall, again, if we're just doing a top 10 and we're not saying it's the best game, it would certainly be on, like, the top 10 of games I've played and just enjoyed. So I'm actually less... It's not, for me, it's not that I didn't like as many games as you, you know, or you were saying that you're not quite sure you liked enough to make a 10. I do find, though, that I disliked a great deal more games this year than I have in the past.
Same.
Like, there were more games where I'm like, I don't, The Crew 2 was like, Rent almost, I mean, I was close to saying never touch on that game. It just did not. Extinction was not good. A couple VR games I did were not good. So that to me is what I think is interesting.
Very disappointing game for the, for me this year. Attack on Titan 2, hands down. Holy crap. That
I didn't even come near the first one, that, let alone
yeah,
improve.
Yeah, because the first one was so good. I put 40 hours from my life, it literally disappeared. Like, you didn't even have to know the anime or the manga to enjoy that game. And that game just grabbed me and did not let go. And the second one, oh my god, it was literally the first one again. With, like, 2 extra hours of gameplay for season 2. And I was like, what the fuck were they thinking, man? It's like...
They were probably thinking make money on, like, the...
Well, yeah. Yeah, it's obvious what they were thinking. It was just... where were their morals at? I guess
Fallout
it's
4 VR would also be on my list.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's an
interesting
even one. Though I rated it a rent because it required so much fixing. Now they've patched all that in, and I'm telling you, dude, I don't want to even say out loud how many numbers I have in that fucking game.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with you saying, like, hey, rent this game, or hey, wait. Like, for example, AC Odyssey, I was like, yeah, easily on my list, but yet in my review, I was like, yeah, wait for, like, a small dip, just because I was a little unsure of microtransactions and level gating, and I'm glad I stuck with that. Because it became a very contentious issue when the game launched. However, the game on its own is really, really good, and I love Cassandra as an assassin. So it's like, yeah, absolutely, that game's going on my list. You know, that top 10, yes. Top 5? I don't know. There's a lot of games left unbeaten, you know. That like, I, for example, Hero Academy... I could totally, you know, I don't like to foresee games cracking my list because I feel it sets unreal expectations, but I feel like Hero Academy could because I loved how there's a hero storyline, there's a villain storyline, it's very comic book fashion, true to the anime, there's a lot of customization there, hopefully more than Soul Calibur 6. Once again, this is from the same company, so we shall see, but I have high hopes for
cool
that game.
Cool too, dude. We've got so many good games coming up, right? I mean, I shouldn't say good, but we have so many. Yeah. I mean, you haven't done Tomb Raider, Shadow of the Tomb Raider, right?
I did. I like that
game.
I think
so
that game is a bad rap.
Yeah, so do I. So there's Shadow of the Tomb Raider, but then there's like Hitman. There's Battlefield.
Hitman,
there's,
holy crap.
And Hitman 2, not to, like, I went from thinking Hitman, I went from not knowing what I was thinking about Hitman 2, because I personally think the graphics that I've seen have not really wowed me at all compared to the original, especially that, yeah, especially like the city level in the first one was just Paris was, I mean, all these different places. But the more I read about even the multiplayer, the ghost mode, when I saw that mode and what you can do in that, I was like, that's the shit. That mode right there, I will play for weeks. Like, I was blown away by that mode.
What is the ghost mode?
It's basically two people in their own worlds doing their own assassinations, and you're doing, like, chains of assassinations. You can't be seen even once or you lose. But the cool thing is, some things in your world affect the other person. So if you find a box and there's a disguise in it and you take it, that person's box is now empty. But additionally, you have these ghost coins, and you can toss them, and that will alert his NPCs to him. So you can see them at all times, but you can't see anybody else in their game world. You can just see him as a ghost moving around doing his own thing. Hmm. But you can fuck with him with, like, these ghost coins or stealing stuff. And so cool. I immediately was like, wait a minute, what if I just steal the stuff, but what if I don't want it? I just steal it and drop it on my floor. It won't be in his game. So it's like I was coming up with metagames already going like, okay, when I jump in, I'm going to throw a coin, alert everybody so he can't get to, and I'm just going to sprint to every place, remove all the shit from the boxes so he can't use them, even if I won't use them. Just different things like that. That, to me, is awesome. Sean Bean, the actor, he's the first exclusive target. And right. I love the exclusive target system. It's the cool idea that they went and got actors is, I don't know why, but hunting Gary Busey was hilarious in the first one. Mm-hmm. So the idea that you're going to be hunting actors... I just hope they get Tom Cruise. Like, I would kill if they were like, exclusive target, Tom Cruise. I'd be like, oh, yeah. So, that game, you know, Battlefield. Somebody mentioned a couple other games that I even forgot now. And I had forgotten when we were in this list. We've got some shit coming out.
Battlefield's kind of off my radar personally.
It is mine too, but I mean, it's a big game and it may turn out to be amazing.
Yes, totally possible. It's just for me,
I would say it's on, for me, it's where Blackout is, where I probably won't dive at it.
And then Fallout, Fallout comes out in November.
Yeah.
I know we talk about a lot on the channel, but like there's just, for those out there who are like trying to pick what game to spend their money on, like, holy crap. You know, it's so
yeah,
much.
And I mean, how, like that game even, like how are you going to, like all these online games, how do you review them? Like that's the big thing as well. That game will be fun to see, because I won't have any issue with how anybody wants to review it. You can review it whatever way you want. But right. I think it'll be fun to like look at it and go, okay, I'm going to review it this way, or I'm going to dive into this. You know, like, do you do a monthly thing where it's like next month I'm going to tell you, you know, how the server count is and how many mm-hmm. people are doing? Because I think that game hinges on social far more than most games.
Definitely.
Like, and to me, that's interesting, regardless if I'm in love with the
that's
idea.
Good point. Well, we'll see, man. We're going to get our hands on all these games within like a month, so it'll be a busy time for us.
Very much so.
That'll wrap up episode 175 of the Ham Radio Podcast. We thank you so much for joining us. If you got this deep into the show, send us the hashtag... Something about being busy. Busy B. I like Busy B.
Busy B?
Busy B.
I was going to say create a character.
See, yeah, see. Yeah.
Because at least for right now, it doesn't sound like that's great.
That's a good one. Yeah, hashtag create a character. You got this deep. Let us know on Twitter. Handles are on screen right now at Jeremy Penter at G27Status. We hope to hear from you, and we hope you enjoyed this episode, and we will catch you guys in next week's episode. Peace out.
Peace out.